Part 3. The Shield Wall. Chapter 10. Alfred's army withdrew from Wareham. Some West Saxons stayed to watch Guthrum, but very few, for armies are expensive to maintain, and once gathered they always seem to fall sick. So Alfred took advantage of the truce to send the men of the Firds back to the farms, while he and his household troops went back to Shire Burnan, which lay a half-day's march north of Wareham, and happily for Alfred was home to a bishop and a monastery. Baoch had told me that Alfred spent that winter reading the ancient law codes from Kent, Mercia and Wessex, and doubtless he was readying himself to compile his own laws, which he eventually did. I am certain he was happy that winter, criticising his ancestors' rules and dreaming of the perfect society where the church told us what not to do and the king punished us for doing it. Hopper, Ealdorman of Thornsetter, commanded the few men who were left facing Wareham's ramparts, while Odda the Younger led a troop of horsemen who patrolled the shores of the pool. But the two bands made only a small force, and they could do little except keep an eye on the Danes. And why should they do more? There was a truce. Guthrum had sworn on the Holy Ring, and Wessex was at peace. The Yule feast was a thin affair in Wareham, though the Danes did their best, and at least there was plenty of ale so men got drunk. But my chief memory of that Yule is of Guthrum crying. The tears poured down his face as a harpist played a sad tune, and a skald recited a poem about Guthrum's mother. Her beauty, the skald said, was rivaled only by the stars, while her kindness was such that flowers sprang up in winter to pay her homage. She was a rancid bitch, Ragnar whispered to me, and ugly as a bucket of shit. You knew her? Ravan knew her. He always said she had a voice that could cut down a tree. Guthrum was living up to his name, the Unlucky. He had come so close to destroying Wessex, and it had only been Halfdan's death that had cheated him of the prize, and that was not Guthrum's fault. Yet there was a simmering resentment among the trapped army. Men muttered that nothing could ever prosper under Guthrum's leadership, and perhaps that distrust had made him gloomier than ever. Or perhaps it was hunger. For the Danes were hungry. Alfred kept his word and sent food, but there was never quite enough, and I did not understand why the Danes did not eat their horses that were left to graze on the winter marshes between the fortress and the pool. Those horses grew desperately thin, their pathetic grazing supplemented by what little hay the Danes had discovered in the town. And when that was gone, they pulled the thatch down from some of Wareham's houses, and that poor diet kept the horses alive until the first glimmerings of spring. I welcomed those new signs of the turning year, the song of a missel thrush, the dog violets showing in sheltered spots, the lamb's tails on the hazel trees, and the first frogs croaking in the marsh. Spring was coming, and when the land was green, Guthrum would leave, and we hostages would be freed. We received little news other than what the Danes told us, but sometimes a message was delivered to one or other of the hostages, usually nailed to a willow tree outside the gate, and one such message was addressed to me. For the first time I was grateful that Baoch had taught me to read, for Father Willibald had written and told me I had a son. Mildred had given birth before Yule, and the boy was healthy, and she was also healthy, and the boy was called Uhtred. I wept when I read that. I had not expected to feel so much, but I did, and Ragnar asked why I was crying and I told him, and he produced a barrel of ale and we gave ourselves a feast, or as much of a feast as we could make, and he gave me a tiny silver arm ring as a gift for the boy. I had a son, Uhtred. The next day I helped Ragnar relaunch Windviper, which had been dragged ashore so her timbers could be caulked, and we stored her bilges with the stones that served as ballast, and rigged her mast, and afterward killed a hare that we had trapped in the fields where the horses tried to graze, and Ragnar poured the hare's blood on the wind viper's stem, and called on Thor to send her fair winds, and for Odin to send her great victories.